Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
Today, we're continuing the series of Let There Be Light, and today's message is titled, Make a Way. Make a Way. So let's turn back to the passage that I preached last Sunday, John chapter 1. So find that, John chapter 1, and I want to kind of recap a little bit and then set up what we're going to be talking about today. So in the beginning was the Word. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that had been made. In Him was the light, was life, and that life was the light to mankind. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. And then if you go on reading in John, there it talks about John the Baptist, where it says there was a man sent from God, verse 6, whose name was John. And this we know is John the Baptist. He came to witness and testify concerning that light, so that through him, through John the Baptist, all might believe. He himself was not the light, but he came to witness of the light. And the prophecy in Isaiah, John the Baptist is actually a fulfillment of a prophecy in Isaiah. And that prophecy is Isaiah 40 verse 3. It says, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare a way for the Lord and make straight in the desert, in the dark place, in the void place, in the formless place, a highway to God. And that's why the message today is called Make a Way. And so this is exactly what God did. In the beginning, when there was darkness and there wasn't, God looked at a massive problem. He looked at the universe and He used His voice, and God was the way. God was the way that light came into the universe. And this shows us the nature of God. That when God is the way. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And Jesus is God. And so in the universe where there was a problem and there wasn't a way, God didn't see the problem and think, man, we're at a roadblock here. There's nowhere to go. I don't know what we're going to do. And he starts biting his nails, get freaking out. No, God's not like that. The first language when he said, let there be light, it was prophetic. Not pathetic. Prophetic. Like he said out of nothing and formed the entire universe, which is incredible. And so when there's a problem, that God sees it as an opportunity. And often many of us, when we see a problem, we see it like a problem and we complain about it like a problem. But when we do that, we're not actually stepping into who we are in God. And so it doesn't just stop there. There was another problem. There was another darkness. There was another pain and issue that God needed to make a way for, and it was the problem of sin. And that's what John 1 is talking about. So in the Old Testament, we can read about how the high priest and the people, they tried to make a way. They tried to do the right thing. They were making animal sacrifices, and we don't do that anymore. It's not like you come to C3 Toronto and like we kind of drag out the bull, and when there's no like animal sacrifice, thank God, all the vegans said, amen. Like, it's not like we're doing that in church anymore. What we're doing is we're providing the same message that God said when He said, let there be light, let there be Jesus, let there be a way, and Jesus became the new way. And so this massive problem existed, sin existed, and God was looking at it and He said, you know what, I'm going to take it upon myself to make a way. And He sent His only Son into the world. And now you and I, when we make mistakes and we're trying our best and we're dealing with sin and we're still dealing with the problem, but we're not alone anymore because God sent Jesus. And if you're in a dark place, or if you find yourself falling to sin, you need to understand that God made a way for you. And He didn't make a method. He didn't make 10 steps to your better life or something. He sent His Son. He spoke, and in a way, when He sent Jesus, He said, "Let there be light again. Let Jesus come into the world. Let my Son come down so that all man can be saved." How incredible is that? I love the gospel. And so now you and I, now so God made a way in the universe where there was darkness. And then when there was the dark problem of sin, he made a way by providing Jesus. And now John the Baptist gets this. And we're like John the Baptist. C3 Toronto is like John the Baptist. John the Baptist understands that people need Jesus. So he became this voice of one calling in the wilderness. In the Gospel of John, chapter 12 and verse 46, it says this. And Jesus is talking, says, "I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." And I bet if you spoke to John the Baptist today, he would say, "The thing that drives me, Sam, the thing that drives me is that I'm bothered that people are living in darkness when they don't have to be. I'm bothered that people are living in pain and don't know that they can be free of that pain." And I think John the Baptist would say, "I'm bothered that people have no idea that God has called them and created them, and that they don't need to live in a place of disillusionment, that He created them for a great plan and a purpose and a calling from God." And then so He takes it upon Himself to make a way. And so what I want to do today is I want to talk to you about three ways that we create highways to God. That you and I, that's what we're meant to do. That's why we live on this planet. That we're meant to use our lives, hashtag all in, to create ways so that people can meet God. Our purpose statement as a church is we exist to connect people to God. Exactly that. We exist to make highways. Now, like when you make a highway, like when you build a road, like, you know, the Garden Expressway, they've been working on that thing ever since they created it. But it takes planning. It takes effort. It takes resource. It takes work. And sometimes people don't understand, man, why do we need church as like an organized religion? Why do we need planning? Why do we need to think about things in a different way? Or why are we as Christians called to be the workers? It's because we're called to be like John the Baptist. We don't live in this life for ourselves anymore. We've found the way. We know Jesus. You know Jesus. And so it's our job to make a way. So here's the first of three ways we create highways for God. Number one is we create highways for God in how we host. And the word hospitality in the Bible means the loving of strangers, or the love of strangers. And so hosting, and our hosting team, man, they're incredible. There was a story, a lady emailed through from the Connect cards and from our response team this week and said, "I couldn't believe it. When I got to C3 Toronto, like the parking team were crazy. Like in the parking lot, the parking team kind of walked across, and I've never seen anything like that before." And she said, "You know, for me personally, I'm actually not 100% ready to go to church." And, you know, she's not there yet. And, you know, whatever, that is what it is. But she said, "But what I did do is I was so impressed by how I was hosted, and then seeing the kids ministry and seeing all this stuff happen." She's like, I got on the phone and I told my friend, and I'm like, "Man, you should check out this church." And I'm like, "Wait, you mean to say that you're not coming to church, but you're pumping our church to your friends?" She's like, "Yeah, it's awesome." And I'm like, "You know, whatever. What's the big deal? Just come." But it was the way that hospitality was shown to a stranger, and that she's even now making a highway, making ways for other people to know God. In 1 Peter 4 verse 9, it says this: "Show hospitality to one another without grumbling." And I think what assaults the spirit of hosting and what assaults the spirit of hospitality is when we do it without encouragement. But what makes a great hospitable team is the spirit of encouragement. I remember when I first came in contact with C3, a lady by the name of Heather Bush, and I'll never forget her, that I chose C3 to be my home church back in 2003, and it was like the words that were coming out of her mouth formed a world in me that I didn't even know existed. It's just because she was so encouraging. The words that came out of God's mouth was powerful, and the words that you use are powerful. I mean, life and death comes out of your spirit, comes out through the tongue, and that you, the way you speak to people and the way the team spoke to this lady last week just shows of this encouragement, and that creates a way for God. A lot of people draw conclusions about who God in heaven is by how they meet Christians on earth. And so God doesn't want us to show hospitality to strangers with any sense of grumbling, like dragging the feet kind of church, bothered that we're, you know, we have to do this stuff called evangelism or anything like that. No. God wants us to take on the same spirit and say, listen, we can encourage people, and that as we encourage people, people are going to meet God. And so Heather said to me, she said, Sam, I think you're going to love it here at C3, and this, I think you found home. And then I found myself repeating that message. I was like, I called Mum later, I'm like, hey, Mum, I met this lady today in this church, C3, man, it was awesome. I loved it, and I think I found home. And then it dawned on me, and I realized that's crazy that because of this spirit of hospitality, someone willing to not think about themselves but think about a stranger that they've never met before. And I'm just so proud of our church, because this happens all the time. But that is a way that we create highways to God, is by how we host people. Another quick way that we make highways to God is in how we give. And obviously that story with Vision Builders, that's a great example of that. But it's not giving gives legs to the gospel. And God supplies seed to people that are giving to enlarge the harvest. And this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. It says, now he who supplies seed to the sower, to the person that gives, will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. So that just means that as you step out and use what God's put in your hands to advance the gospel, to advance the kingdom, that a harvest of righteousness comes from that. And so, you know, that's exactly what Vision Builders is. I think Vision Builders is always an invitation for you to be a part of it. Like through this year, over 200 people are putting down like monthly committed amounts to give to Vision Builders. And I encourage you to be a part of that, that you will find that you never lack. And you also find that this is providing a way for people to meet the light found in Jesus. Making a way. Somebody say, make a way. And so in the last point, and I've got something super special to share with you here today. The last point is we create highways for God in how we believe. That a church that believes, a church that steps forward in faith, a church that postures themselves to step out, like when you believe, it requires a step. Like faith without works is dead faith, but this is a church, and we are a people that are willing to risk a little bit and step out and see God move in our life. In Hebrews 11 verse 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. So the world knows the existence of true light, knows the existence of Jesus through belief. That as you step out in belief. And then it says this, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And what I want to encourage you to do today is I want to encourage you that no matter where you're at, to earnestly desire a God story in your life. Earnestly desire answered prayer. Earnestly desire God to form a testimony in you. John the Baptist said that he came to testify of the light. I mean, he had an encounter with Jesus, and so he carried the story. And we create a highway to God by the fact that Jesus is alive and wants to do miraculous things in your life today. Today, that we don't tell stories about what God did years ago, about revivals in the past, that God is trying, he's desperately trying and enthusiastically trying to build a testimony of faith in your life. That's it's not a coincidence that we came on Sunday saying we have $25,000 left to pay, and then like God had already spoken to someone to give 20. It's like God is desperately trying to say, hey guys, I'm real. Like, can I be real in your life? I want you to earnestly seek a way that I can be real in your world. I know, and every time it takes a step, every time you got to step out and do something that makes you feel uncomfortable, and then God comes in and does something, and you're like, oh my gosh, I am so glad I stepped out. I know God has spoken to me about inviting people to church, and we've seen people come to church. I mean, Anna Lee is a great story of that. Met Anna Lee in a coffee shop, and now she got married to Silas in our church. And I'm so glad that I had enough courage to step out in faith from that, giving words to people and hearing those words come back, and people are totally blown away by the fact that God is real. Because we live in a world where people, they doubt it. They don't know. They're cynical. They don't know that God is actually alive, and we need to believe in a way that creates a way for people to have faith that Jesus is alive and wants to be life in their world today. Now, here's what we're going to do is we're going to cut to a quick story. It's a miraculous story of healing that I believe is going to boost your faith this morning. Hey church, so here we have Sherry, and she is married to Ryan, and they are an incredible couple who are pretty new to our church. And Sherry and Ryan have a 2.5-year-old son called Weston, mm-hmm. who's a little champion. And we want to tell you a miraculous story of healing that happened in their family's life back in January. So to set the background, what happened was there was a healing altar call happening just at the end of a service at the East Campus. And this crazy moment where you guys were standing there amongst everybody down the front, and I actually really felt when I saw you guys, like it was like an impression from God that you actually weren't praying for healing for yourselves, but for your kids. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know each other or anything. Yeah. And so I just went over there and said that to you guys, and it was confirmed, because in that moment, and I had no idea about any of Weston's story, but in that moment, you guys just started bawling. Mm-hmm. So something really, really meaningful to you. And so what was going on in Weston's life?
Yeah, our son had been sick since the age of 8 months.
Crazy.
Yeah, so such a long journey, and now being almost 2.5, he has an illness called autoimmune neutropenia.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so
what's that?
I know it's crazy, but he has no neutrophils.
Yeah.
So neutrophils make up 80% of your white blood count. So basically, he can get sick really, really easy. He has nothing to fight it.
Because white blood cells work in fighting off sickness.
So yeah, so he was basically had been a bubble boy for 2 years.
Yeah. What does that mean? You couldn't like...
We couldn't take him anywhere. Couldn't take him to places with crowds. Couldn't take him on public transit. Couldn't... Wow.
And you guys couldn't even check him into C3 Kids.
No, couldn't even take him to C3 Kids.
Oh, that's the worst.
I know, it's the worst. Yeah, it was so hard to see. He couldn't even play with kids, because kids always are sick, right?
So there was this big moment, and God was moving in that moment. Yeah. And then what happened after that?
After that, Weston, he got sick again on the Tuesday, and he went in and had to get his blood work done. And when we got the results back, his neutrophil count was up.
Crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean,
a
miracle.
And that hadn't happened in like a couple of years of testing.
Yeah, in 2 years of testing.
Wow.
Yeah. So the nurse consult called me on the Wednesday.
Yeah.
And... a miracle that we don't have to take Weston to the hospital anymore when he gets a fever.
Crazy.
Yeah, it was huge for us because we've been to the hospital at least over 60 times.
Yeah.
With a fever with him, and have to get him there right away. And so to not have to go to the hospital and to not have Weston being poked and prodded and having his neutrophils come up is such a miracle.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. I mean, and the last couple of months that that this has been happening? I mean, has life been different for you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what's been going on?
Oh, it's been amazing. Like, he can go and hang out with kids, which he hasn't before.
Crazy.
And he can, like, he goes to see three kids, which he loves.
Amazing.
And just to see him play with children is amazing. It's huge.
Yeah.
And we can take him places. We don't have to worry. We don't
must do so much for your heart.
Like, oh, yeah. Like, every time we drop him off at C3Kids, I cry. Just because I've always wanted him to play with children. I want him to have a normal life, right? And so to see him, like, thriving and loving on other kids is...
Yeah. So how awesome is that? Look, here he is right now. Let's see if we can get him to come.
Hi, buddy. Hey.
Here he is, little Weston. How incredible is that? Just stepping out in a moment, believing God, and God, like, touched your life. And, you know, and now we can just see that this story is going to be such an amazing testimony and bring glory to God. How incredible is that? Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you.
You're amazing. You're amazing, buddy. High five.
High five.
High five. High five.
High five.
All right. See you guys. How awesome is that? I know, like, at the end, he kind of left me hanging there a little bit, but hearing Weston's story, like, I mean, oh my gosh, that I'm so glad that God is alive, that it doesn't matter what you face. It doesn't matter. Like, God created a way not to just deal with the sin problem by providing Jesus, but he dealt with the sickness problem by Jesus dying on the cross. Any problem, any darkness, any voidness that you face, that there is a way, there is hope that is found in Jesus. And that hope wants to be real to you. That if you step out and believe and know and listen and trust God and believe in faith, you will see a God story in your life, and it will create highways for people to know God. Just hearing that story from Sherry and Ryan, I know that they're going to tell that story for years to come. And imagine if we didn't believe in this stuff, or if we didn't step out in that stuff. I mean, this church, this story, and your story becomes a way. You make a way. Your story is a way to Jesus, and Jesus is the way to the Father. And you make a way by how you believe in him. How awesome is that? John chapter 1 verse 7 says this, and I'm just repeating. It says, John the Baptist came as a witness to testify concerning the light. That's what we do. We make a way. I just want to ask everybody right here, right now, if you could just all bow your heads and close your eyes just as we end the service, and before I just transition it over to the meeting leader. And with your head bowed and your eyes closed, I just want to ask you about, have you accepted Jesus? Have you accepted that he is the way in your life? Maybe you've never had faith to believe that before, but just hearing the stories here today and being in church today, you're really encouraged, and you want Jesus to be real in your life and in your heart. Well, right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to ask you, if you've never made a decision to invite Jesus into your heart, you've never made that decision, in a moment, we're going to ask you to make a response. Or maybe once you have made a decision, but since you've walked away for any number of reasons and whatever, that doesn't matter. But here today, you're like, man, Jesus is alive and he's real, and I want to recommit my life to him. And in a moment, we would love an opportunity to pray a prayer with you as you respond to this message. So right now, I just want to transition it over to the meeting host today, and they are going to lead you through the prayer. Amen. God bless you.